So there's this song, it's a welcome song. One of the things that I love doing with groups of people, now I know you can still hold your coffee. And if you're a listener, that's fine. Listening is exactly half of singing. So if you're in that mode, you do that too. This is a perfection-free zone. But I want there's a two-part thing, and it's a little bit of a tongue twister, so it wakes up neurons that you have not used in a long time. At least that's my experience. This comes from Ghana, in northern Ghana, a language of Dagbani. And it's a welcome song. It's a hello song. It's a simple one. It goes round and round and round. And the translation is, "You must be a son or a daughter of my mother." It's that simple. You must be. I see you up there. You must be a son or a daughter of my mother. Coming down the road. So it goes like this. Say this. Nung ye da.
Nung ye da.
Nung ye da o.
Nung ye da o.
This is the good part. Nung ye da ma bia. Nung ye da ma bia. Nung ye da.
Nung ye da.
That's the whole thing. Let's do it one more time. And if you forget during the song, just mumble. It works just fine. Yeah. You know, I grew up, my father always mumbled the hymns. And it was just fine. It was just fine. It goes like this. Nung ye da.
Nung ye da.
Nung ye da o.
Nung ye da o.
Nung ye da mma bia.
Nung ye da mma bia.
Nung ye da.
Nung ye da.
So it goes like this. Nung ye da. Nung ye da o. Try that.
Nung ye da.
Nung ye da ma bia, nung ye da. Try that.
Nung ye da ma bia, nung ye da.
The whole thing now. Nung ye da, nung ye da oh. Nung ye da ma bia, nung ye da. There's more. Nung ye da, nung ye da oh. Nung ye da ma bia, nung ye da. Good, keep going. Nung ye da, nung ye da oh. Nung ye da ma bia, nung ye da. Nung ye da, nung ye da oh. Nung ye da ma bia, nung. Listen to the harmony. Go like this. Nung ye da, nung ye da oh. Nung ye da, try that. Nung ye da, nung ye da, oh, nung ye da, ma bia, nung ye da. Twice as loud.
Nung ye da, nung ye da, oh, nung ye da, ma bia, nung.
Now you gotta stand up because it's gonna sound good.
Nung ye da,
nung ye da, oh. Sing that if you like it. The rest of us. Nung ye da, nung ye da, oh. Nung ye da, ma bia, nung ye da. Yeah.
Nung ye da, nung ye da, oh. Nung ye da, ma bia, nung ye da.
A little faster now.
Nung ye da.
Great to see you all here today. I'm Greg Meyer, pastor of Jacob's Well. Tim Francis, great to have you with us, Brother Timothy. I've been enjoying this, you guys. So we're trying to take you kind of into one of those deep places with worship, and then we're going to do some more stuff with that as well. And all the rest of the band and everybody, Tim and I have known each other for a long time, and he's sort of been a kindred spirit in many ways. His art, his music, his wisdom, his journeys have been important to me, so really glad to be sharing them with you. And we're hoping to get him to come and be at the bandstand with us in that July 4th weekend.
I already said yes to that.
Okay, well, so that'd be fun. Justin Rimbo is jet setting and in Philadelphia and playing for some stuff with Senate Assembly. So anyway, so this is a great opportunity to do this. But glad to do that. Anyway, if some of you maybe aren't familiar with this stone, The stone has engraved in it. Nothing is written in stone. Yeah, don't think about it too hard. Your brain will hurt, okay? And this has really been a cornerstone for Jacob's Well since before we existed. The story behind it is rather long and fun and humorous, but another time. But it's a cornerstone for us because it really, I mean, we really, really believe this. It's kind of like this other saying that we have, that Jacob's Well is a church for people who don't like church. It drives some people nuts. You know, they don't like that. They maybe don't like this either. But I think you got to kind of get it. You got to go with the irony of it. And it helps us keep on that edge, helps us keep figuring some things out. So you are here today, I think right now, hopefully on kind of a little bit of an inward journey, trying to kind of settle in yourself and be in yourself and be in the presence of God. And that's what we're wanting you to do right now. My understanding is that all great journeys start with an inward journey, and they always end up there too. Now, in between, they go all kinds of amazing places, but they start inside and they end up inside as well. You probably have found that to be true as well. So what does all that have to do, you know, with nothing is written in stone? And this is really kind of a choice. With Jacob's Well being a church, Jacob's Well being church, is that there are churches that are bricks and mortar, and then there are churches that are flesh and blood. We have chosen the latter. And we hope every day to be encouraging you to not have a church, but to be church. And we do gather once in a while here. We gather here weekly, and we do some other gatherings, but hopefully we're church all week long. And that's a real kind of a basic thing that we want to do. We think that's really is how it works. And one of the things is that we don't really think there's anything truly worth saying. There's nothing really truly worth living your life for that could actually be written in stone. The things that Jesus was about, the things that we are about, the things that are the most compelling in our lives can only be lived. They can't be written in stone. They can't be captured that way. In Jeremiah, a prophet about some 700 years before the time of Jesus, he says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I brought them by the hand out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke." You know, that covenant that was carved in stone, right? That covenant that was the Ten Commandments. He says, "But this is the covenant that I will make. I will put my words within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people." In one of the creation stories, the first one actually, there's this wonderful telling of how, it doesn't tell us how God did stuff, it tells us what God did. And God created us in amazing ways. And what that story does, it says that God took clay and molded it into the form of Adam, which means ground, which means clay. And clay being just one step from becoming stone, right? But still malleable, still formable, still shapeable. And God did that, and then what did God do? God breathed life into it, and it became you. It became me. It became all of us. God breathes, God's wind, God's Spirit, they're all the same word, life into us, and we live, and that's how we become who we are. And we breathe in, and we breathe out. And we breathe in, and we breathe out. I encourage you to be doing that this morning, just breathing in and breathing out. So we enter into the presence of God many, many times every day. Not once a week. Let's all get that straight now, okay? Coming to church, quote-unquote, is not coming into the presence of God. We live in the presence of God. We gather as church to celebrate that, to understand it, to dig a little deeper, to do it together. But that's what that's all about. And here, and whenever we enter into that presence of God, God is shaping us, taking that clay, kneading it, working it, breathing in, and breathing into us. Because in all those times when we enter into the presence of God, many, many times a day, there's one thing that they all have in common. We're breathing. We are being inspired, and then we breathe out into the world again. So nothing is written in stone. You know, stone is wonderful stuff, and it's there forever, but it can't change, it can't grow, it can't learn. God needs us to grow and to change and to learn and to take that word that is given to within us and to make it live. Tim?
And sometimes we get stuck in feeling right. And this poem has just popped up while Greg was talking. This is by an Israeli poet who actually fought in World War II. His name is Yehuda Amichai. And he wrote these words. From the place where we are right, flowers will never grow in the spring. The place where we are right is hard and trampled like a yard. But loves and doubts dig up the world like a plow, like a mole. And a whisper will be heard in the place where the ruined house once stood. We decided on this because this is an old song, but it does mention Jacob. So that great time when Jacob thought he was all alone in the middle of nowhere and hiding from the law. And then he realized because of his dream that he was in the presence, that God was right there. And he started seeing God in strange places. So this song came out of that. Well, when I was shown the face of God for the first time, I was torn up in some cornfield in Wisconsin. I was lost, alone, and talking. Flat on my back, I was not walking. That's when I was shown the face of God for the first time. Then I seen the face of God 4 times last year. 2 times in the mountains and once down at the pier. And when a child was born to me, that's when it all came clear that I had seen the face of God 4 times last year. Like Jacob waking up on holy ground, right there next to Ezra Pound. The apparition of these faces in a crowd. Petals on a wet black bough. Petals on a wet black bough. The apparition of these faces in a crowd. Right there next to Ezra Pound. Is Jacob waking up on holy ground? When I see the face of God 7 times yesterday, 5 of those people on the bus, and 1 in how the morning fog lay. And when she opened up to me, it sent a chill back through the day. I knew that I had seen the face of God 7 times yesterday. Like Jacob waking up on holy ground, right there next to Ezra Pound. The apparition of these faces in the crowd. Petals on a wet black bough. Petals on a wet black bough. The apparition of these faces in a cloud. Right there next to Ezra Pound. Is Jacob waking up on holy ground? So if you want to see the face of God, well, it can look a lot like mine. If you want to see the face of God, well, then get your ass outdoors. If I want to see the face of God, well, it can look a lot like yours. Holy ground, right there next to Ezra Pound. The apparition of these faces in a crowd. The petals on a wet black bough. Petals on a wet black bough. The apparition of these faces in a crowd. Right there next to Ezra Pound. Is Jacob waking up on holy ground? Song. this song comes from the text where Paul and Silas, you know, they've been thrown in jail for making the right kind of trouble. And they're sitting there and they're praying and they're singing at midnight in this jailhouse. And the whole reason I wrote the song was because when I was reading it, it said the earth shook and not just their chains came off. It just said everybody's chains came off and all the doors swung open. Not just Paul and Silas. I didn't realize it. And there are others that have done that along the way. So they get into this song too. This is call and response. I'll sing a line, please sing it back. We sang out loud at midnight. Come on.
We sang out loud at midnight.
And we prayed out loud from our prison.
We prayed out loud from our prison.
What happened? And everybody's chains came off. All the prison doors swung open. Everybody's chains came off. All the prison doors swung open. We marched from Selma to Montgomery.
We marched from Selma to Montgomery.
And we laid down our lives in Memphis.
We laid down our lives in Memphis.
And everybody's chains came off. All the prison doors swung open. Everybody's chains came off. All the prison doors swung open. Even the shy one in the corner, even the mean one in the dark, even the one twisted with hatred, even the ones with angry marks, even the ones who broke the rules, even the crazy ones with hair, even the wealthy, the thieves, the liars, even the ones who don't seem to care well. It feels so good to be free again. Feels so good to be free again.
Feels so good to be free again.
Come on.
Feels so good to be free again. Feels so good to be free again. Oh, feels so good to be free again. Feels so good to be free again. Oh, everybody's chains came off.
All the prison doors swung open.
Everybody's chains came off.
It feels so good to be free again.
Feels so good to be free again.
Oh, feels so good to be free again.
Feels so good to be free again.
Do you have a little advice for us, Tim?
I do have some advice. It comes not from me, but from a poet, a Minnesota poet. Southern Minnesota, Bill Holm, who unfortunately we lost a couple years ago. His advice is this: someone dancing inside us learned only a few steps. The do your work in 4/4 time, and the what do you expect waltz. He hasn't noticed yet the woman standing away from the lamp, the one with the black eyes who knows the rumba and strange steps in jumpy rhythms from the mountains of Bulgaria. If they dance together, something unexpected will happen. If they don't, the next world will be a lot like this one.
That's good advice. That's good advice. I wanted to have you pull that in there. I just want to share a few words about this Paul and Silas stuff. I don't know if you guys know the story from the book of Acts, but Paul and Silas are out there doing their disciple of Jesus thing after the time after Jesus had already, you know, died and gone, and they're starting the early church, and they're getting into all kinds of trouble. They get into trouble, and they get thrown into jail, and because the guards are afraid of them and stuff like that, they put them like in the innermost part of the jail, and they chained them up with all the other prisoners, and not getting that they're in trouble and that this is a bad situation, they were singing songs and having a great time and celebrating in their chains and in prison. And sure enough, around midnight, it says that the angel of the Lord came, and there was a great earthquake, and all the doors flew open, and all the chains fell off of all the prisoners. Not just Paul and Silas, I mean, the ones that kind of got it and thought this was good stuff going on, but everybody did. It's kind of like, you know, when the tide comes in, all the boats in the harbor go up, you know? When someone starts believing and starts doing stuff that is in sync with what God has got in mind, everybody, things start changing for everybody. Now, this isn't a story that you're supposed to be spending a lot of time figuring out did this really happen or not. I mean, that's actually the wrong question to ask. The right question to ask is, what is God telling us? And God is telling us that when God gets involved, chains fall off and doors break open. It started a long time before that. In fact, it started a long, long time before that. But I'll just jump to a couple of weeks ago. On March 31st was the day we celebrated something called Easter. And there was a time when life got so big in the little tomb that it was in that it could not hold it. And a door fell open and chains came off and life burst out and just made a total mess because people, for thousands of years after, all over the world, starting to believe in ridiculous things and started changing the world and messing it all up. And this new world is a lot different than the one that was right before it because people learned some new steps, some new hopes. When we say, when God gets involved, God changes things, God breaks down walls, opens doors, breaks off chains, what we mean is you open doors, you break down walls, you break chains, and hopefully I do too. Because the face of God, I'm looking at it out here, and it's got all kinds of faces, and they're really, really good-looking ones. I'll just throw that out there. The face of God is there, and God's going to do this in all sorts of ways, but one of the ways that God is going to break chains and open doors is with you. And with me. And you know what? We can do that. And when we open these doors, breaking these chains is really like two sides of it. There's the ones within ourselves, right? Every journey starts and finishes within us. So there's all these doors that have to get blown off and all these chains that have to fall off of each and every one of us. I start naming them. I mean, what? It can be disappointment and discouragement. It can be finances. It can be relationships. It can be addictions, it can be habits, it can be worries. I hope you got your own list going. Those chains, they can come off. And then it's out in the world that these chains can come off, the walls can start falling down. And God says, I tried to give you enough indications that this actually is going to happen, all right? That you maybe will start trusting it, and believe me, you're going to start seeing that it happens. When you start believing this, you start getting involved with this mess. After the bombing in Boston a couple of weeks ago, one of the stores that was closed because it was real close to the where the bombing was on Boylston was the Life is Good store. In fact, I think that was their original place, Life is Good. And so it was 10 days before they could open, and the owner, the guy who runs the whole Life is Good thing, you know, the T-shirts, right, with the little characters and says Life is Good. They asked him about this. Well, what about it? You know, you were closed down for 10 days. And he says, yeah, well, life is good. He says, I didn't say life is always easy. All right? That's not our motto. Life is easy. Life isn't always easy. But life is good. Life is good. And I think we even know that here. Life is good. It's not always easy. You might have seen this if you want to show. This is from 3 days ago. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
Is that you, Greg?
No, I was up here. We didn't. This is in Iowa. So there's all kinds of things to be thankful. Another reason to be thankful you don't live in Iowa. But I didn't say that. So we've got this promise. We are these people that live in this crazy place. And we can do some things. He believes life is good. He believes that even though it's not easy right now, and hey, has this spring been easy for any of us? It's coming, folks. It's coming. The plants are going to come up. The gardens are going to be full. The sun is going to be warm. It's another sign that God says, just trust this stuff. Work with me on it, all right? It's not always easy, but it's good. It's good stuff. You got people who've been through transplant surgery here in the last couple weeks. Is life good, Jay?
Yeah.
It is good. Was it easy?
No.
Okay. Thanks, sir. That was not prompted. So your kids, your friends, the people around you, they can start living a little bit differently because you can be a little different. You can, give them approval. You can give them your interest and transcend approval, just transcend performance with them. You can think of these hundreds and hundreds of kids and adults in Africa are going to have water for a lifetime because 20-some of you signed up to run the Twin Cities Marathon. Yeah. Right, Kathy? long story. And it isn't about the marathon. For those of you who are running, it isn't about the marathon, is it? Right? It's maybe about your empowerment of saying, I can do this, but every one of you, I've seen their pages you're putting up. It's about those kids. It's about giving water to some kids and changing their lives. Right now, their lives, time-wise, are tied up with walking those miles to a creek bed and digging a hole and getting enough dirty water, unsafe water, for themselves and their family for the day. And they can't be, there's no opportunity, there's no health, there's no ability to have an education because of it. We can change that. We can change that. We can break those chains, we can open those doors. And it's not just the marathon. There's many, many ways that we can be doing this every day. And all this stuff, everything that we're talking about, all this outward journey, this running around the world, touching the lives of other people on these, between touching a base with ourself and then coming back to ourself again as we start to integrate in what it is we've learned, all that stuff, it isn't that you have to do it. No, it's that you get to do it. You get to do it. You get to be the hands and feet. You get to be the face of God for other people.